888-663-6386 email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. If you'd like to talk to Andy's company, again, his number 800-468-2646. Well, Andrew Goss, we have used the term collapsitarian.
Oh, yes.
Crashaholic over these 10 years we've been doing this particular show and even before then. But you know what? The more I do my prep each day for One Radio Network's Andrew Goss Wednesday show, which is today, I think I'm beginning to start to become...
collapsitarian?
Yeah. I mean, wow. The more I read how this thing is held together by chewing gum...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jelly bean?
No, it would be easy for me to be a collapsitarian.
I mean, it's like every day I do this, I say, what? I mean, this is not going to end well. So help me out here so I don't get the collapsitarian bomb here. So, I mean, we always go back to the idea, well, there is no tipping point, as people say, because all you have to do is keep
creating more money.
But,
but you don't just straight create
more money. I mean, you monetize.
Ebb and flow.
But isn't there still some point with the amount of debt, with the amount of GDP, that whole production debt? Isn't there something there that it's a problem that it could tip somehow or not? You know what I'm asking?
We're at $164 trillion in international global debt. 225% of GDP for the world.
For the world, 164 global debt. Most of that's
incidentally is 10% higher than it was at the last peak of the last debt cycle. So when the crisis hit in 2009, we were, 10% lower than we are right now.
But how can you just, I don't know. I mean, at some
paper over the problem?
Well, I mean, we still have to service the debt. And if GDP is not, is not kind of balanced in some way, your debt service keeps going up. Right? So you have to keep creating more money.
Yes.
So you have more debt. And it doesn't really help GDP, as we've seen since 2008. $4.5 trillion has been created since the Great Recession. And GDP has not really done his little GDP thing.
No.
Okay? So it proves...
No increase in productivity.
Yeah, it proves that printing money doesn't really help the situation.
Doesn't help it how?
It doesn't...
Doesn't fix it.
No, it doesn't fix it.
Of course not. But does it prevent it from collapsitarianing?
Of course it does.
That's the whole point.
That's
the key.
All right. So
the Dutch boy with his fingers in the dike. Remember when the crisis started in 2008? What did I say? I'll repeat it. So it's been a while.
Okay.
They have no desire whatsoever to fix the problem. All that they're trying to do is prevent an utter collapse.
That's it.
That's all they were trying to do. That's all they wanted to do. It wasn't about fixing anything. It wasn't about stimulating. Don't misunderstand. They didn't care
they
that you were losing your house.
Work.
They didn't care. All they wanted to do was prevent a collapse.
Really?
That was it. Because this is why. I don't dispute what the collapsitarians and crashaholics see.
Mm-hmm.
You see it, and you're becoming the same way. So only when you step back and look at the bigger picture, and I think I tried to describe it then, when people were suggesting then that, oh, that's it, it's the end of the world, hyperinflation, we're out of business.
Yeah.
And what did I say? Who's going to clean their pool?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Make their beds.
They want a system that maintains itself. That's what they want more than anything. And so if you have to do... inflation, crazy inflation, if you have to do whatever you have to do in order to perpetuate your control, that's what you do. And so this is how I have faith that there is no crash coming. I told you that my Lehman moment, right, in the mirror, I said, oh my God, I was wrong. They're going to allow it to completely collapse, and then they don't care who cleans their pool. It's not a good business from a business point of view.
Well, many countries are concerned that the music could stop.
Ah.
So they're buying what?
Gold.
Okay, check this out. Russia, they're on a tear. Oh, Vladimir gets it.
Yeah, he gets it.
Right, he kind of gets it. Because he gets off his horse and puts on his shirt and says, let's buy some gold today, guys.
Every day.
Every day. Let me look at the numbers here. Russia buys 300,000 ounces of gold in March.
Yeah.
Whoa. They're now they have 2,000 tons, and they hold over, 2,000 tons.
They're stacking.
So he listens to the show, Vladimir listens. Yeah,
lead stacking.
Both Russia and China have the power to destabilize the U.S. dollar, according to this article, by dumping dollar-denominated assets. Fake news. Right?
Right.
Because they're not doing that, correct?
Well,
because, see, this is on a gold core website.
Always got to consider.
See how they're doing that?
No, the source.
So on Goldcore, they might get the number of ounces that Russia and China is buying. That's fine. But then they say both Russia and China have the power. Oh, so they're really not lying. They're just saying they do have the power to destabilize the U.S. dollar. But they are lying, because if they would sell their treasuries, what would happen?
Well, if you go to the usgoldcoins.com website, shameless plug.
Yep.
And click on links section on the left side.
Okay, I'm going there now.
Hold on. Going there now? Sure. All right, great.
Okay, I'm there.
Yep.
Okay.
There are three links there. Yep. St. Louis Money Supply, Money Stock Weekly.
Links.
Right? Money Stock Date Measure.
Oh, I'm the links, okay.
Major foreign holders.
I got it.
U.S. Treasury.
Oh, see, now you guys can get it right here. Just bookmark this thing. It's called usgoldcoins.com. Go to links. And so which one are we going to go to?
Well, we're going to go to the major foreign holders of Treasury Securities.
So I take it you update these.
It updates itself. I don't even, as soon as the new report comes out, boom, it plugs it in. Love it. Got to love artificial intelligence. I've been tracking this for a long time.
Look at this, folks. It's right there in black and white.
You get nothing. Okay, wait a minute. Right. The top one is China. And we've heard how many times. China's selling their treasury bonds.
And it's been on top for years.
Yeah.
Doesn't move.
Japan right next to it.
Doesn't move.
Look at those purchases. You go, you know, net holdings far back as you want. Now, when we peaked there at 1.2 trillion in August of 2017.
I see it.
I talked about how they were selling off a little bit. Mm-hmm. They're reducing their position.
Well, they sold 25 billion since then.
Yeah. What do you do?
What do you mean they're not selling?
Oh, well, so we go down to the bottom, which is everybody, grand total.
Grand, where's the grand?
Okay, all the way to the bottom.
I see it. $6,291,000,000,000 in treasuries held by people other
than Americans.
Than Americans.
And that's up like $200 billion, forgive me, from last year this time.
So it's up.
Where's the dump? Where is the people dumping?
Show me the dump.
Show me the dump. I've got... You know, we have every country that's a major holder of treasury bonds all over the world.
Yeah.
Everybody in order of how many they hold, published, updated every single month on a website that you can go get it without, go right to the treasury.
This could be fake news, though. I'm just kidding.
Right, it could be.
But what is our bonded debt for the United States? How much?
Where are we? 20 trillion?
No, bonded debt.
$20 trillion. That is our bonded debt, $20 trillion.
Now wait a minute, hold on, Tonto.
Okay,
we've got $6,200,000,000 or $300 billion.
Yeah.
Of foreign holdings.
Correct.
And then so we've got.
Where's the other?
Where's the other $14 trillion? Who holds those?
Have you heard it said we owe it to ourselves?
Now, the Fed only has a couple trillion.
Correct.
So well, that's
the Fed has like, 2.7.
Yeah, we can look at that website. Yeah. So 2.7, we got 6. Okay, that's 7, 8, 9. Okay, that's 9. So who holds the 11 trillion other than the Fed and foreign holders?
CalPERS. I'm just going to make CalPERS the big umbrella for pension America's
funds.
Pension funds.
Grandma and Grandpa.
Oh,
that's a lot, though, 11 trillion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Americans are holding about half, essentially half, right?
Yeah, institutions and individuals.
About half. And the Fed, which are the banks, right? Not the government.
The Fed themselves.
The Fed themselves.
Federal Reserves, banks.
Right. Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, all those dudes.
The entity that they own.
The entity they own, they have a couple trillion in
treasuries. And then on their own books, JP probably has some, and Oh, Bank sure. of America has some, right? So sure, yeah. These are all just official holdings held by governments around the world.
How could it be that Ireland is third? Now that does
not How could Ireland? There's you want me to tell you how Ireland is third? I can explain it in one sentence.
It's kind of a secret.
12.5 corporate tax. So if you were picking a place to headquarter your company, mm-hmm. and out of all the places in the entire world, yeah. Ireland will give you a 12.5% deal.
I thought they went up a little bit. Is why.
Well, whatever. They're still
Apple moved some of their money.
Yeah, they're still
to the Channel Islands. Yeah.
Jersey, Guernsey, and so forth. Well, so but this is why Ireland is third, because they reduced their corporate tax rate to 12.5%. I'll tell you what, I mean, that drew more money in a single swipe than anything Ireland has ever done.
So Apple would have a bunch there. They pay 12.5%. They get a lot of the cash goes in there. So they do something with the cash and they
got to do something with it.
They buy treasuries.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even if it's only like a pithy 2%, what do they care?
More than Brazil.
Do something more than Brazil. And then Brazil is fourth. Why are they fourth?
The same reason.
Cayman Islands. Oh, whoops.
Well,
now we know why they
tax
are.
Tax haven.
UK. So, yeah, I see.
Naturally
Who's the
rich.
Last? Who are the slackers here?
Who's dead last?
Dead last.
We the people. No, I'm kidding.
Chile and Spain and Philippines and Mexico. Huh? Kuwait. Yeah.
Philippines? How'd they even make the list?
What is this all other? The 482 billion.
Those are all the other smaller countries.
I see.
That combined.
I see.
Don't make Chile's chart, you see. So
I see.
You know, Chile's at 27. Anybody less than 27 gets grouped into the all other category. Mm-hmm. And it's still a pretty good chunk, 482
billion. Is there some kind of an unwritten law that if you're a country and you're a central bank and you don't buy treasuries that you may get liberated? Just kidding. I don't know. I just thought of that.
Well, you're not far from
kinda.
The truth. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You're participating.
Then oh, you're participating in
you're
the game.
You're viewed favorably. Yes. Yeah. If you're not participating, you're one of the non-aligned countries. Mm. Or worse yet, a belligerent country like Cuba or North Korea or
This
Syria.
Probably doesn't have any tied in together with the idea of Turkey and civil war in the United States and bombs in Iran and all that. So it's probably separate.
Coincidence.
But it's all coincidence. But Turkey says, you know that gold we have there in the United States?
We think we want it.
We want it back.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can't have it right now.
Well,
we sent it out for cleaning.
There's a problem. We just don't have it right. That's
good. Oh, we'll give it to you. It just takes us a while.
And did you see why they say they want it?
No, I did not.
You talk about getting liberated? They want to do a gold-backed lira. That's not smart. I mean, why would you tell anybody you're going to do that?
Yeah. Well, you know what will happen
it's
is
like putting a target on your
all
country.
The gold in the world will go there.
Cruise missiles here. We're going to do a gold-backed lira. Cruise right here. Big target. Oh, my
well,
God.
Other people have talked about it. I think Muammar Gaddafi
Well, you know what happened to him.
And who is that?
Saddam
Hussein.
You know what happened to him.
About it. Mm-hmm.
Iran is talking about, you know what's going to happen to them.
Mm.
It always happens.
Yeah, you kind of don't want to do that.
Kinda,
if you're a country, probably the worst thing you could do is institute a gold-backed currency.
Because are you saying that the dollaring people, they just don't have a good day when people do that?
They don't like it. It's counter to good public policy.
Ooh.
Why do you want to free the money? You're better off to enslave the money and free the people.
Oh. Hey, according to the charts, the United States has 8,000 tons. Well, now 7,800.
Yeah.
That's what they say, but we don't really know for sure, right?
All I know is we haven't added a single ounce to it. I memorized the number of our official gold reserves in 1984.
And it's still the same.
And I haven't had to change it since. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had to re-memorize what it might be. Mm-hmm. I know that it's, well.
Mm-hmm. Erdogan, how do you say his name? He's the head dude of Turkey. He's been critical of the U.S. loaning dollars to people around the world. And he says, if they want to loan us money, they should loan us gold.
Never going to do that.
Not going to happen.
Never going to happen. Mm-hmm. Ever, ever. Can't create gold.
I want you to get a little closer to the microphone here. Don't sway.
Sorry. You cannot create gold. So you're not going to loan something you can't control or create.
I see. Well, so this is another reason why sometimes I get to be a collapsitarian. Morgan Stanley, they're part of the owners of the Fed, right? They're one of the big boys?
Of course. The usual suspects. Part of J.P. Morgan, really.
Oh, they're part of J.P. Morgan. Mm-hmm. They say some of the biggest, this is a head dude there, he's got an article out, some of the biggest financial challenges in credit are not 2 to 3 years away, but they're 6 to 12 months away.
Yes.
So what's he talking about? So is he becoming a collapsitarian? What does it matter if...
Well, what it means is the problems, and it's what I've been saying for, I guess, a year and a half that they're coming to a head again. They're coming to a head again, and we have to do something, because if we don't, we're going to crash into a deflationary depression. That's it. So those are their choices every single time. You either fix this problem right now, stick your finger in the dike, or let the water just overflow and run everybody out of business. That's essentially the two choices. So it's obvious to everyone and not just him. Look at stock market. Are you kidding me? Some kind of a interest rate shock yesterday. Oh my goodness. Remember what I said? That the problems will appear not in the stock in the stock market, in the equities market, but in the bond market, in the debt market. And that is appeared to be what happened yesterday. The Dow went down like 400 and change on the basis of interest rate shock. It's like everybody's going to wake up and recognize, wait a minute, there's three times as much debt as there is money to pay. Oh, goodness, what are we going to do? Like the, you know, Groundhog Day. We're going to just keep repeating the same nonsense. And that's what happens when you have an over-leveraged fiat money system.
Kind of quiet today. I wonder what's going on. Not enough coffee there. In Wall Street, only 23 points off in the red.
Yep, yep.
Gold is down 10 bucks.
Plunge protection team is in full swing. Where's the U.S. dollar index?
Today, it's strong. Why is it so strong?
Because they know. You better strengthen this dollar. So wait, let's look at the H41. Have you looked at it lately?
The H41?
Balance sheet.
Okay, H41.
Current release from the 19th of April, the day after the show, typically.
H41 balance sheet.
Oh, goodness.
H41 release.
So we go to the top line, and we see that the Fed... added $4 billion to its pile of treasury securities. So they're not selling this week. We'll work our way down here. Factors affecting reserve. Added $479 million this week to currency in circulation. And reserve balances at the Fed. Total factors other than reserve balances, absorbing reserve funds was down $15 billion. So that's effectively what they've done. They withdrew about $15 billion from circulation, and thereby giving the dollar strength.
Well, we didn't feel that here in Dripping Springs. Did I miss that?
It's in the money markets. That's where they feel it and know all about it. And look at the figure from the, you're on the bottom now.
Yeah.
Total factors affecting, other than reserve balances, absorbing reserve funds. That's the second from the bottom line of that number one. And you'll see that from last year to this year, the amount of available credit is down $201 billion.
What does that mean?
That's a reduction in the money supply or a strengthening of the dollar. Now, week over week, it's up $21 billion. But year over year, it's down $200 billion. So there's $200 billion less in available funds, right? Than there were last year at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Last year they're 2,366, and this year 2,295. So the difference between those two is a reduction, not an increase, in the total factors absorbing reserve funds. They strengthen the dollar, Patrick. The dollar is stronger today.
Well, I feel
where bad. Is it, USDX?
It's 91.
91? Oh,
no, no, wait, wow. Wait.
91 is
91.14.
Oh, my word.
We're getting pretty strong.
Whoa, peaky.
Well, I think that it was...
We started the year at 89, so...
Yeah.
Hey, how strong are we now? We started the year at 92, sorry.
I think it was all about... Did you go to the White... The state dinner with Macron last night. Did you get invited?
No. I got an invite.
Me too.
My granddaughter had a dance recital.
I had nothing to wear. Otherwise, I would have gone. You know. And plus, my girl, she was concerned that she wouldn't look as good as Melania, so we didn't even go. But we should have went.
We should have. It was a fun time.
I heard. Yeah, I heard too.
Of course, that rack of lamb for dinner, I don't know.
You're not sure about that.
No, I just have never had a taste for lamb, even with mint jelly.
So. Really?
No. Pardon me, France.
Well, they did have a Domaine du Bon Pinot Gilloise de 2014, which was served with the...
Yeah, I would have given them a bottle of California Brut.
Yeah. But Melania, she planned the whole thing, and so it was kind of fun, and she was looking good, I tell you what.
Yeah,
she was looking good.
Yeah, she's brought a lot of class to the White House,
yeah,
I got to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And I noticed that, you know, Michelle Obama was on, I think, 26 national magazine covers in her husband's first term.
I'm shocked at that.
Yeah.
And how many has Melania been on?
Let's see. It was zero.
Wow. Unbelievable.
I think the number is zero.
No kidding. You can really.
Really,
is
not
that
a
true?
Single. That is, look it up. Not a single.
That's amazing.
None. Not one.
That's
so
amazing.
I get it. They don't think she's not really doing a good job as first lady.
Now, you know, because we don't do the right left thing here because all politics is political theater. We know that.
Yeah.
But how is it?
They're all buffoons.
How is it the globalists are more on the left? Today that could change, but they're not really.
I don't think that could change
because George G.W. I mean, he's a globalist, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. That whole, G.W. is that Poppy Bush? No, that's
whatever. That whole W.M.D. thing never would have happened.
George H.W.
without Bush 41 and 43.
Yeah, they didn't call him Poppy for nothing.
But so the globalists, though, they're kind of glopped up with the libtards now, right?
Well, yes,
yeah.
Because their thinking kind of meshes.
No.
It meshes.
But that doesn't mean it's going to be forever like that.
No. If the left gets more left.
If the left gets more left?
Yeah. Communism.
Is that even
so
possible?
Forth. Yeah. Socialism, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well.
Still got to have a dose of capitalism in there, or they can't make money. So like the perfect hybrid, capitalism with control. That's what they want.
Alan says, I enjoy all of your shows, especially Wednesdays. Can Andrew recommend some accurate and detailed biographies to read about President Andrew Jackson?
Oh, any of Remini's books. Very good.
Remini? Yeah.
R-E-M-E-N-I. He's a...
R-E-M-E-N-I.
Robert Remini, yeah.
He's got the Jackson thing.
Yeah, he's down on his Jackson, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you want an unbiased...
Is that possible?
Yeah, it is kind of impossible, but at least a fair assessment. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of stuff out there that's very critical of Jackson and lots of stuff that praises him. But Robert Remini kind of takes the the slant out, if you will, and gives you what he gives you. You draw your own conclusion. So... The probably the seminal book, Andrew Jackson. Get it at Amazon. It's probably the most concise. Then he wrote another one. I think it was The Life of Andrew Jackson. That's a book award winner. It's like a 3-volume set. So it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the guy. He's the Jackson guy. If you want the authority. Unfortunately, I do believe he's passed. So.
Iris is up in New York City near you, Andrew, and she said, I'd like to give my daughter and her husband $200,000 towards the purchase of their first home in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I have a second home worth $1 million with no mortgage. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a co-op, which is also mortgage-free. Should I take out a home equity loan?
Hell yeah.
For the entire $200K for 30 years?
Yes.
Or do half in cash from savings? I'm 68, retired with no debt and a nice pension. Also, what would be the tax liability for my daughter? Thanks for your wise advice. Now, yeah. You're not a tax guy.
I'm not a tax guy.
Or our investment counselor. You don't
not
have
a tax
any,
guy.
You don't have any things on the wall. So,
But I don't think I would give the money to your daughter. It would be subject to a gift. But I would let her use your house as collateral to borrow $200,000, which to her would be non-taxable. And then might as well.
How does that work? How does that work?
It's non-taxable. It's
right.
A loan.
So she's in L.A., and the daughter could
borrow
$200,000.
Or $300,000. I like three.
Well, though, see, she's wanting to purchase a home. She can't borrow the down payment.
Oh, no. No, yeah. She can't borrow the down payment.
Right. See, I caught you there.
Yeah, you did.
Good.
Yeah. Gee, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just give her a mortgage for the house. She thought about that.
How's that work?
Well, you loan her all of the money to buy the house using your house as collateral.
But you can't use borrowed money for a down payment.
Never mind a down payment. Oh, you've got $1 million house, 100% equity. You have no loans against it.
Why?
Why couldn't that be the collateral against which your daughter could borrow the purchase money for her house?
The whole thing.
The entire amount.
Oh. Yeah, and of course, in L.A., it's probably $1 million or something anyway.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? It might be the whole thing.
So there's some options there.
Yeah, there are. Huh. But the worst thing you could do is take it out of your savings. It's just,
and plus, then aren't you taxed like 30% or something? Or?
Well, out of her savings, no. She's already presumably paid tax on that money.
Yeah, but if you give somebody money, you have to pay tax.
That's where the rubber meets
the
road,
isn't it? That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's why I think
they
it
call
would
it
be
a gift tax.
Gift tax. You might be better off to let. And I think there are limits too. It's 2 or 3% when you said you can't borrow the down payment. You can gift, I think, for an FHA 3%.
Mm-hmm.
And but again, presumably, she's not going to get an FHA mortgage on a property in Los Angeles. So that gift thing is kind of out the window. You know. You know, if you want to give me a call, we can noodle it together.
Noodle it?
Don't hesitate.
Gluten-free noodle it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, absolutely.
Wheat noodles. Yeah.
Wheat noodles. why? That doesn't make sense. If you wanted to give me $50,000,
just because,
Patrick, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's income, though.
Oh, but then you. So you got to pay taxes on that, or would I have to pay taxes on that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, you or me?
Both of us, I believe.
Oh, good. Well, that's good.
I mean, you know, it's a rare thing, but this is, of course, how parents would choose to give the money to their
kids.
Right,
right, right.
Yeah.
Got to be careful about that.
So, of course, they would have to stop that. Mm-hmm. Of course, that needs to be stopped.
Of course, that needs to be stopped.
That needs to be
Let stopped. Me make sure this thing is down. Okay. Yeah, it seems a little weird, but, you know, what isn't weird with the government? You know, they do a lot of strange things, you know.
Yeah, so it's generally the tax liability rests with the giver, not the taker, not the receiver. So, I mean, really, I think the question surrounds that tax-free thing, that annual exclusion thing. So if you've given your daughter... I think it's $14,000 or $15,000.
I think 14,500, I believe, is the number.
Something like that.
You can do 14,500 tax free.
Yeah. So if you
aren't you glad the government looks out for us? Because I'm just really excited about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Really want to look out for us.
Yeah. So, but generally, the daughter is. It doesn't matter. You know, the question of whether there's any tax due by the giver. Again, I'm not a tax guy.
See, I think the giver pays the tax.
Always.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Always. Yep. So the giver pays the tax. They can give $14,500, you say?
Yeah,
it's 14,
I believe
15.
So. Tax-free,
yeah.
Right.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, and the nice thing about this method of loaning your daughter the money And I get it. It's probably going to kill her chances for an FHA loan. But you can, these loans can be forgiven on your death, on your passing, they're forgiven. So really all you need her is to service the debt. I don't know what you intend to do with the second home, but if it makes sense to give her the ability to borrow whatever she needs in order to buy this Los Angeles house by using the $1 million property as an asset, say it could be a loan rather than a gift. And, you know, in the case of a loan, there's no taxes due for anyone. Except for you, if you're going to charge interest, then you'll have to, you're going to have to pay.
So let's see if I understand. So if you wanted to loan me $100,000 and I sent my Uncle Tony up there to take care of you, then that debt would be gone? Wait a minute. Hold on.
It could be. It could be.
No kidding. Yeah.
It could be cancelable. Yeah. But in this case, you know, you really ought to consider what your intent is with your property. You're in your late 60s. If you're, if this is your only daughter and she's going to get everything anyway, then why not, you know, let her take advantage of it while she's alive? So borrowing the money on the equity of your second home to allow her to purchase her first home, I think would be a great plan.
Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone, April 25. Here's another email for you, Mr. Goss. My parents were born in 1920 and 22. Debt was a curse to them and instilled in my entire life. The only debt I have is in my home, and I struggle with the idea of having a mortgage to never pay off the house. I realize that the money is wrapped up in a tangled object, but I'm not expending funds weekly or monthly to make a payment when it's paid off. The idea of not paying off the mortgage to borrow someone else's funds at low interest rate and to invest and hopefully make more money to offset the weekly or monthly payments, what's the downside? I'm losing this. Hold on a second.
While you're finding it.
My mouse just
So parents out on me. From the 1920s had money that was worth more every year.
Right.
So for them, that was a curse. The dollar that you borrow this year is going to be worth $1.05 next year. So that you're constantly, by borrowing money and spending it now, you're depriving yourself of the future value or the future increase in value of that money. So that's why that whole generation was down on debt.
So this fellow's saying, what's the downside of having property paid off even though we pay yearly rent in the form of property taxes?
Ask somebody in Houston, what's the downside of having your property paid off? So here you are, you just bought a new house, and it's $500,000 house, and you got a $400,000 mortgage. And the guy next door, he just bought a new house, $500,000 house, but he paid for it in cash. And now some big hurricane comes and wipes him and you out.
Oops.
Well, he turns to his bank and says, hey, my house is gone. And they say, oh, that's too bad. Here, let's work this out. Well, you're going to pay less. We're going to pay some of it. We're partners, if you will.
Because, if you just leave, then...
If you just walk away, we get nothing.
We get nothing. That's not good.
So let's work it out. We're partners. We're, you know, it's a workout. Same thing. Back up to 2008.
Yeah, the whole thing was...
Same thing.
When people got behind and
if
all
you
the
were, yeah,
crazy stuff.
If you were
they
a
gave
homeowner...
You a home mod.
Home
right?
modification. Mm-hmm. As HARP, home affordable...
Whatever
it was. There was aid. If you had a mortgage on your house, you would be helped. But you're the guy next door who just lost your whole house. It went from, you know, $500,000, now it's only worth $250,000. Well, sorry. That's really too bad. Hope you do better next year. That's how much aid you were getting. That's how much
hope
aid
you do better next year.
Yeah. So in that case, having a too big to fail bank as your partner makes all the sense in the world to me. Mm-hmm. That's probably by itself worth the 4.5 annual insurance. Mm-hmm.
It's the real world of money, and if you'd like to join the show, 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. Don't forget the colostrum sale is going on right now. A few more days till the end of the month, so if you want to get some, this is the time to do it. It's a great product and a big, big sale. Get yourself a 1 or a 2 kilo thing and load up. and 2 kilo, and then great shelf life on it. Don't worry, as long as it stays dry and kind of cool, you don't need to put it in the fridge. If you have air conditioning at home, it's fine. I mean, I don't have that, and mine is just out there in 75 degrees. It's fine. Just fine. Couple emails on the sulfur. I found, this is from Tony, just got this one in this morning. So far, I asked him how he was doing with it. He said, so far, so good. I found the sulfur to be energizing even on the first small dose. Well, isn't that great? Even on the first small dose, kind of like cocaine. Oh, I've been buying sulfur from, I've been buying sulfur from you for 5 years, writes Leith, L-E-E-T-H, or Lee, okay. And my wife loves it too. Thanks for offering this product. People really enjoy it. And Nancy Banks was big on it, Dr. Banks. She was talking about the whole energy of the cells and how important sulfur was to help to detoxify and bring oxygen to everything. So probably one of the reasons why people love the product. If you've not tried it, we have colostrum on sale, as I said, but we have sulfur that you can buy in three different versions, United States, Canada, and worldwide. And if you like more than 4 pounds, you just email me, Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com, oneradionetwork.com, and we'll get it out to you. So people like it. Look at our sulfur page and read a lot of testimonials. It's a great product. Pure sulfur. There's nothing else in there. No sulfur, whatever they call it, sodium dioxide thing. It's a good one, and we'll think you enjoy it. Previously on Open Phones with Sharon and Patrick, Nancy from Illinois calls.
I have one of those big wooden saunas, and I did get the one that you have on your site, and I have to say that yours is fantastic. I'm kind of nervous talking. Anyway, I wanted to say that if anybody has not gotten one of your saunas, they should, because it works like 10 times better, hotter, and more of a sweat than those wooden saunas. And
wow.
That's pretty curious.
I'm really serious about that.
Yeah, I know you are. It's great. Thank you for being. So why did you even get one if you had one of those wooden saunas?
Well, my husband didn't like going all the way down to the basement to do a sauna. So I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to get him one that we can have up in his office. And so it would be handy for him to just go there, because he didn't like going all the way down and then going all the way back upstairs to take a shower. So I had him try it, but I tried it first, and I haven't been in my other sauna for about maybe, you know, by once every month, because I feel guilty because it's down there.
You got to use it, right? And this sauna is on sale now through January 1st, 2017. Click and order. Or if you live outside continental U.S., email me, Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com, and we'll give you the sale price through January 1st, 2017.
It's the Real World of Money with Andrew Gott. Once again, here's Patrick.
And we're here every Wednesday, and we're so glad that we are, with Andrew Gott's currency historian. How's that book coming? Like, we're going to probably have a premiere New Year's Eve or something?
What are you, some kind of wise guy or something over here?
You never want to talk to a person, because I never should have mentioned I'm working on a screenplay or a book, because how's that coming? And you never want to answer that, because sometimes it's not, right?
Well, it's coming one step forward, two steps back.
Yeah, do you do that too?
Nothing good is ever written. It's rewritten.
Rewritten and rewritten, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm on my third draft of the book on the soul, mind, body thing. Third draft. Just keep going. Just keep going until you feel like, well, okay. 888-663-6386. An emailer here says, the corporate tax rate in Cyprus is also 12.5%. Maybe it's not widely known. It was raised from 10% after the bank events in 2013.
Yeah, I suppose they...
we could do our corporate there.
They just have a reputational challenge. You put your money in Cyprus, you pay less tax, but you might not get it back.
So I'm not sure how that... Give me an idea how that works. Say if you as a company, SDL, wanted to base it out of Ireland and just 12.5%. I mean, can you legally do that?
Yeah, there are nexus rules that you have to follow.
Like nexus?
Physical presence and all that sort of thing.
Oh, I see. So it's not like you can just do that.
Well, you can. I mean, like have a P.O. box in Ireland.
I don't know.
That sort of thing. Yeah.
But you don't do that kind of, it's just too much trouble.
Oh, for me, no. I'm an American company.
Oh, that's right.
An American company. Mm-hmm. In the United States of America. Yes. Huh.
Who runs Goldman Sachs?
Who runs it? Lloyd Blankfein.
Golden Mice Slacks. Well,
former CEO of J. Aaron, gold trader.
Well, they just hired a hotshot VP of digital asset markets to help those clients who want to enter the world of crypto lampshades.
Oh, yes.
So what do you think about
you
that?
Go.
Now, last year, J.P. Morgan, who runs that place, Jamie Dimon, he called Bitcoin a fraud.
Because he's correct.
But now Lloyd, though, has just hired a lampshade specialist. So
of course.
What about that?
Well, hey.
I mean, aren't you impressed?
Yeah, I'm very impressed. I'm going to rush out and buy lampshades now.
Are you?
Nah, I think not.
Lampshades are going. Was it last week, and I couldn't find the tab. Maybe you've seen it. Some big shot place, court, or something ruled that cryptocurrencies were not money. Or currency.
Right.
Did you see that story?
Yeah,
where did I see that?
Yeah. I don't know.
So is that good or bad for the cryptomaniacs? That they're saying it's not money,
If that holds, it's good.
Why is that good?
Puts it into a new set of, well, because then they escape the regulatory framework intended for money.
Oh, so let's see. So if they, I see. So kind of like if the Secret Service, who control the dollar thing, if they think that you're creating dollars in the basement, then that's against the law because we control the money.
Right.
Right. So they say it's
anything
money.
Anything that's money
right.
is subject to our rules and regulations. But if it's not money,
Then what is it?
Then it's a commodity.
A commodity. Okay. So I thought
so
about this.
So now it's subject to regulation by the Commodities and Futures Trading Commission.
Yeah, CFTC thing.
And you got different regulations now. Now you're dealing with barter exchange.
But I don't even understand how you can... You can use commodity as money. So let me say this. Okay, Saunders about $11.95 retail, right?
Right.
What if we said, what if the retail goes to $1,300 or $12.95?
Right. Yeah.
And then I say, okay, well, we're gonna just sell the Saunders, and if you want to, you can send us an ounce of gold.
Chickens.
No, an ounce of gold.
Anything.
Stick with me a second for an ounce of gold.
Well, okay, an ounce of gold.
So
barter.
So we bartered for an ounce of gold for a
Correct.
Sauna.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with that is using that as money.
Mm-hmm.
If gold goes down in value next week or 2 weeks or something
right.
like that.
Correct.
You know, I lose.
Especially if you hold on to the gold.
Yeah, but I mean, and then if gold goes up in value, I win. The guy that bought the sauna, he kind of did a bad deal. So I don't understand how you could use commodity as money as we should use gold and silver as a payment of debt. So that doesn't, I don't understand that.
Well, when gold and silver is denominated as a payment of debt,
right.
then the dollar is the unit of measure. And how much gold is in a dollar is an act of Congress.
Oh, okay. So you don't really use the gold.
No.
But you just say the dollar is worth X.
Correct.
In gold.
In gold. The gold dollar or gold coin.
Like the good old
dollar.
Days.
Yeah,
right.
like the good old days.
I see.
So that if they change the value of a dollar, it didn't affect dollars that you had already taken for your saunas. So you had piled up some dollars and sold all your saunas. And then the federal government says, okay, gold is now worth, a dollar is now worth half as much gold as it was before.
Yeah.
Well, then that would cut the value of all this. I mean, that would mean you just sold all your saunas for half the money, especially if you saved the money.
But if I was using dollars, not so.
If you're using gold coins and you save the coins.
Yeah.
This happened once in 1834 and then again in 1854. So Congress changed the amount of silver in a silver dollar.
Did they now?
Yeah, and the half dollars of 1854, because there were no dollars, had arrows at the date so that you would know, oh, that's one of the different silver content than the previous one.
That's pretty curious.
So it is to protect you. If you've already traded all of your goods and services, think retirement here.
Mm-hmm.
If you've already traded all your goods and services and you have this fixed supply of dollars, what's important to you is that the standard remain the same year over year over year, that the dollar maintains its purchasing power, and this is done through various coinage acts. But under the current system, the dollar changes value from day to day, week to week, month to month, and year to year, and you never know it.
Whoops.
I mean, you could pay attention to the USDX, which we talked about a brief moment ago, dollar index, how it's measured against varying other currencies, or you can pay attention to the price of gold and how it's measured against the price of gold. But that's about your only way. That was the result of the closing of the gold window. The way that I describe it is the government essentially said, we're not going to tell you anymore what your dollar is worth. From now on, you have to guess. And so the more educated your guess is and the closer you are to the truth, the better you are with savings. So, I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
Yeah. So the problem happened when they start issuing more dollars than they had gold, and then they start.
Oh, no, it was okay. Listen, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I do that a lot.
That's right. That's right.
But it's okay for the government to go short dollars. See, it's not issuing more dollars than you have gold. It's failing to redeem them for that standard. So let's say you have 100 million ounces of gold, and you've issued your appropriate amount of paper money against that coin, but now you're short a little bit. And so you print up this little bit and put it into circulation. And so you're essentially short. You'll pay it back, but you're short at the moment. So as long as you don't change the standard in order to pay it back, then there's nothing wrong with it. That's the theory behind United States notes and other non-interest-bearing bills. The idea that the government can go short and issue notes that it doesn't have the gold for, knowing that it can redeem it later at the full value. That's different from issuing them with no intent to redeem them. That's why I interrupted. Forgive me.
I kind of get it. So we're never going to go back to a dollar that's backed by anything of substance, are we? Are possible?
I can't ever see that.
People talk about that a lot on the internet.
I know.
You know.
Yeah, you remember the Treasury notes?
No, they're still. But listen, any day.
Oh, yeah.
The TRNs? Oh, come on. You're not with it.
You're not with it.
The Treasury Reserve note is days away. If you go on the internet.
When it was days away, like 5 years ago.
12 years ago. Yeah.
Whatever. I waited with everyone else, right, for the. We're going to show you these notes.
We're going to show them to you.
And then these pictures appeared of these ornately decorated notes. And so, being the numismatist that I am, I printed one, clipped it, put it under the scope, looked at the signature, and it was Otto Skinner. He's been dead 130 years. So what they had done is clipped legitimate pieces of American currency from the old days, you know, where folks were all dead who would know what they were. And they simply took pieces of each note, pasted them all together, came up with their own design and device, and put these out as, you know, secret leak of these Treasury Reserve notes. There is no way in hell that the boys are going to let the government take back the power to issue money. There have been four presidents that died as a result of their desire to do so, and I can't imagine that this one's willing to take a bullet for it. So
here's a big sign. Let's see where it is. It's inandout.com. Have you seen those? That's where they sell these burgers where you just kind of ride.
Yeah, In-N-Out Burger, huh?
$16 an hour starting, earn up to $18.25 an hour.
Yeah.
Is that inflation?
That's the result of inflation.
That's the result. Wow.
And but you'll start to see that more. What gas prices, where are they now?
Yeah, they're going up too.
They're the ones that are really going to drive this one. It's going to be over $4 a gallon by Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're heading back for a cycle of inflation. Get used to it. That means higher wages, higher prices. The only people that will be negatively affected are those who have already traded all of their goods and services for a fixed supply of money, dollars, which they hold and now hope to have them last longer and longer. And it's just going to take more and more of those dollars to get through each year. This is why I counsel gold and silver coins as a portion of your savings are a good way to offset the effects of inflation. That's it in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Did you see where Jeff the Bees from Amazon kind of he let it slip that they have 100 million Prime members?
Yeah,
you
man.
You surprised at that?
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
100, you know, I really like that Prime thing.
I'm sorry. I hate to admit that I do, too.
I mean, you know how much fun it is to order
never mind
something.
Fun.
And then 2 days later, it's sitting in
your
mailbox.
That's never mind fun.
Like some
that's
vitamin C.
The
or,
convenience. How about a vacuum cleaner filter?
Yeah, I know.
How about a vacuum cleaner filter? Boom. It's just that simple. Boom. I need a vacuum cleaner filter. Yeah. A box of them is in my mailbox the next day.
Yeah.
I know. And here in New Jersey,
I know.
Where I think they're, you know, Newark has a very good chance of winning, you know, the Bezos war, the HQ2 thing.
Oh, he's going to put it up there, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I got a good feeling he just
really?
Might. Yeah.
Where do you think?
You know, the...
What city?
You take Route 80 and you head west out of New York City.
Yeah.
Drive for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And man, you got wide open everything, easy access to everything. You've got 81 there. You've got 278 there. You got 78 there. Mm-hmm. And 80 runs all the way to California.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hub already, a warehousing hub. If you go just over the New Jersey border to Pennsylvania, you have warehouses all up and down that corridor. But if you come just east, like from Newark to the west, to the New Jersey border,
mm-hmm.
New Jersey-Pennsylvania border, that is just prime, open real estate. So,
have you been buying some real estate?
No, I have not.
If you've been watching Billions, you probably already own real estate there, right?
Yeah.
That's the way that works.
And that's how that works.
So you think that's where it's going, huh?
Well, I think it's in the running, put it that way. Yeah.
So if you did the calculator, which I needed to do because I wanted mm-hmm. to see, mm-hmm. you know, 100 million at $99 a year. You know, that's $1 billion a year.
Oh, right. Yeah, but they spend $1 billion. I don't know, though,
because a lot of people probably don't use it. Do you think they make money on that thing?
I doubt it.
No?
Nope.
Well, they get a good deal from the post office. That's what the president said.
Yeah. So, and of course, they did hammer a great deal for their shipping.
Yeah.
But that's just a tip of the services that you get as an Amazon Prime member. I'm not an Amazon, not doing an Amazon commercial.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. Just not going to do it.
I know. Listen.
Wouldn't be prudent. But
I watch some great videos on Amazon Prime free. I mean, what are you going to do?
Is it? Well, you just know, that alone. I mean, yeah. What's a Netflix subscription cost?
$20, depending on how many you get at a time.
A month?
Yeah, well, I get the hard disk because I don't like to watch them on the computer.
$20 a month?
Yeah, well, mine's like 25 because I think I get 3 or 4 at a time.
And that's only because you get the disks,
the
right?
The disks, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the streaming cost?
I'm not a subscriber.
Huh. Amazon will now leave packages, deliveries in your parked car.
Car, in Newark. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That's
so
great.
So what do you do, give them your key or something?
Well, you know, a lot of cars can be, you've seen the commercial maybe on
no,
the
I
new
haven't.
Cars.
Huh?
They can open them from space. You know,
oh,
the,
good.
The wife is an astronaut.
So this
and
is
the husband's
good. So Amazon is going to open up your car from space and put a package in your car.
Yeah.
You got to love this guy.
Maybe they'll make the car sign for it. I don't know. they have Amazon lockers up here. They have the Amazon.
What are Amazon lockers?
Well, they'll just pick a locker somewhere.
And they open it from space?
Yeah, essentially.
And put your package in a locker?
Put your package in a locker.
Okay.
You go to the locker.
Oh, I want to do that.
They give you, pop it open, then you take your package out, and okay, thank you very much.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet you, I think Jeff's going to get his own total delivery system and just bypass the post office. The president piss him off enough.
What do you mean, like by FedEx?
Yeah, like.
By UPS, like that?
Never mm-hmm. thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
You think he's going to buy those guys?
I would keep an eye out, yeah.
Really?
If I were Jeff, that's what I'd be trying to buy. Because I know
does
my
he have that kind of cash?
Oh, well, he could come up with that kind of cash. And, however, when you consider what the president is accusing him of, makes all the sense in the world to me. Like, if I can hammer such a good deal with the post office because they're desperate with my business, they're desperate for it, that it would be cheaper to have the post office deliver my packages than to own my own delivery service, then that's good for me, right? And so he's using that to the fullest advantage.
Now, I often wondered why they keep raising the prices of, you know, a first-class stamp, because they needed extra cash, and I read on the website that it was just for storage.
Because they do store your mail, I'll tell you. Man, I had a lady, oh, no, she's in the Midwest. I can ship your package FedEx. It'll be there in 2 business days, and I can tell you the window of when it's going to arrive. No, I prefer the post office. You can send it to my post office box. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's your package was shipped today. Here's the tracking number. She calls me like 4 days later. She said, the package is still in New York. Yeah, but you got a tracking number. At least you know it's in New York. I'm in New Jersey. I could have driven it to New York, you know, in an hour. So I don't know what it's doing there, but it's being stored. That's probably correct.
I got this in my email yesterday from my bank, Wells Fargo.
Hey.
Okay. Okay, cash deposits will be limited to account owners or authorized signers.
Don't want cash.
What is happening, they say? To help reduce criminal activity and protect your account, we'll be making changes to our policy for cash deposits made by Wells Fargo branches.
Right.
Once our policy takes effect in a couple of weeks,
we'll
only accept cash deposits into your
customer
checking or savings accounts.
Correct.
If it's coming from an account holder or authorized signer.
Yeah.
Well, why would it come from somebody else anyway? I don't get that.
Let me help you
get that.
So I'm a national drug dealer, and I have a drug distribution network in 49 states.
Really? I'm telling
48.
I'm telling
the contiguous United
States. I'm going to call the feds.
So I have my little smurfs, my little, you know, people that make deposits into a single master account.
Yeah.
So I give them the account number. I say, here, take your cash from your daily drug dealings. Take them down to the Wells Fargo Bank and deposit in this account.
But not cash, right?
Cash money. What do you think? Drug dealers don't take checks.
Oh, really? They do bitcoins.
No, not on the street corner selling that little quantity to the individual retail.
Do it on their phones.
Maybe.
Right, on their phones.
But for the present, one of the schemes or methods that these folks use is to have their couriers, what shall we call them? In the money laundering world, they're called Smurfs.
Well, we used to call them the family, but go ahead.
And so they take less than $9,900, which would trigger less than $10,000, which would trigger a cash transaction report. And they take it down to the local bank and deposit it in, they're given an account number. Here, just make a deposit in this account.
I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, sure you can.
Not anymore.
Not at Wells Fargo.
Not at Wells Fargo.
Well, companies like Citibank have outlawed cash payments altogether. So I know a few contractors in the cash business, you know.
Do you?
Yeah, they'll paint your deck or fix your roof or what have you. You got to pay them in cash. And so obviously they need to get this cash into their business account. And they know that if they deposit less than $10,000 in cash, there's no transaction report. The drug dealers know this too.
Do they know?
They just have all their minions
those
deposit
rascals.
The cash
They're
right
such
in the
rascals,
bank.
You know.
Yeah, send us a copy of the deposit slip, and boom, all the money's aggregated and clean, laundered.
Dealing drugs is not a good business. You know,
it's
what
bad
saying?
Juju.
It's just bad. You know, it's just like, you know, you could get hurt doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's against the law. You know, spend some
well,
time.
Never
with
mind
the...
your rivals have interesting methods of affecting your business. Yeah.
Spend time at the big house. You don't want to do that.
No.
Jeff Bezos was booed by Amazon workers yesterday. Last week, they disclosed the median annual salary for Amazon workers, which is $28,446.
Median.
Turns out that they're just above Home Depot.
Yeah.
Do you know who the ones that pay the most? Guess what? Guess.
God, I can't.
Facebook.
Goldman Sachs.
Not Goldman Sachs. Faceplant. So.
Oh.
So Zuck
really?
Pays a lot of money. So.
Oh, that's good for
it's
Zuck.
Pretty good. Huh?
Yeah.
Guess what is the? Do you want to know what the best state economies in the country? Can you guess?
I'm guessing it's not New Jersey. That's for sure.
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on a second. Let's see, to really do this right, you've got okay, now, the only real clue is the answer is not Goldman Sachs.
What
is the best state economy in the 50 states? Andrew Goss, for the door number three.
With Colorado. Utah.
Not even close.
Washington.
Oh, Utah's close. Utah's
California.
Close.
Texas.
No, not even close.
I give up. Okay.
Washington.
Washington State.
You know, I guess it's all the tech stuff, huh? Or it's probably just Bill Gates alone. Hmm. Probably just Bill drives that one. His salary is.
Bill by himself.
By himself. So well, we should just say Bill Gates is first. Yeah,
who's the number one economy? Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Yeah. Second is California. Well, that makes sense, right?
No, I gotta Colorado. I gotta dispute this. Yeah.
Well,
I think Colorado is best. And then Utah's like right there.
I see. Wait a minute. Here's what they've done. Sorry, I misread this. They have economic activity. That's one, two. Then they have economic health, and there's different numbers. Then they have innovation potential. Mm. So this is not total just. This is a finger on the scale thing.
Yeah, I'm talking pure numbers.
This is sponsored by the Washington Chamber of Commerce.
And oh, well, there you
no,
go.
No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, the top 10 are Washington, California, Utah. Why'd you say Utah? Why is
it? Because they're just so business friendly in Utah. Oh, it's amazing, man.
Massachusetts, it's 4.
No way.
Yeah.
I would have missed that one.
Yeah, me too. District of Columbia is 5. That's not possible.
Yeah.
Really?
Really?
Nah.
All the money dealing with Washington? Yeah, I can see
that. Oh, yeah, that's right. Of course. All the presidents. Melania's wardrobe. You know, that's a lot right there. That's a hell of a lot
that
of money.
Put DC right in there.
I mean, come on, that's a lot of money. Yeah. Okay.
And Nevada? Has Nevada on that list?
Nevada.
South Carolina's got to be close to the top.
Colorado, Oregon, New Hampshire, Maryland, Delaware. Wow. Idaho, Michigan, Virginia, North Carolina, Connecticut. Texas is way down there at 20. That's not right. You know, foul.
20? Texas?
I'm doing a foul here.
This is a bad list. Texas definitely in the top 10.
Sorry I even brought this up. It was a bad list. It was just a bad list.
Fingers on the scale. Thumb on the scale.
What? You were going to say something?
Pure numbers. Yeah, it has to. Texas has to be in the top 10.
Oh, you mean if you just did pure economic activity?
Yeah, just pure economic activity. Colorado has to be number one. It has to be. I mean, the boost.
I mean, because of the marijuana.
The legalized marijuana has just exploded Colorado's economic growth. It. So, and the states that surround it have benefited also. Idaho has got to be on that top list. Mm-hmm. Oregon, another legal marijuana state, got to be on the list. Mm-hmm. And Washington did, well, they're a legal marijuana state as well.
Texas is forecast they're going to legalize marijuana, I think, in 2094. We don't want to.
Yeah.
Because we have
It'll be the last state to do it.
Yeah, we have a lot.
A lot of
folks that don't like that. Jeff Sessions says that good people don't smoke marijuana. But did you see he's turned around?
They eat it in edibles.
That's right. They eat it in brownies. They eat it in brownies, Jeff. Did you see though? He's changing around. Did you see the article that Jeff said? You know, we should just legalize this thing and be done with
already.
It.
Yeah.
Boy, that's something. He must have had dinner with Ivanka and Jared, and they had a little,
Anyone sensible in a liberty-based society.
Oh, you're not going to get all liberty on
I'm sorry. Is liberty. Yeah. It is liberty. You're at liberty if you want to smoke marijuana,
if
you want to smoke cow patties, whatever. You should be able to
Can you smoke cow patties?
If you want to, you should be able to, especially if the cow's been eating marijuana.
I could never keep them lit, though. I just could never keep them lit. I tried.
So they're good for prairie fires, as I understand it.
Jeez, man. Jeez. Well, I guess we're done here. Oh, one other thing. This is kind of fun. You know, if nothing else, you may dislike the president. You may dislike his hair. You may dislike his wife.
I'm just talking
to people in general. I love him, too. I think he's great.
Yeah, I think
but
he's
you
great.
Gotta admit he's fun. Okay, so yesterday at a little sit down with Macron.
Lead Macron around by the hand.
Yeah, did you see that? Anyway, and then but the reporters asked him something, and here's what he said. Check this out. Our One Radio Network microphones were there.
Mr. President, what about Michael Cohen? Are you considering?
Thank you very much. Stupid question. Yeah. Go ahead. Anybody else?
I love it. When was the last time a president said to
me? Can you imagine JFK?
I'm using my air quotes here.
Stupid question.
Stupid question. Next.
That's so funny.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so funny.
Oh, yeah. God. And he tweeted.
Oh, did he?
He tweeted.
What did he say?
I don't know, but it was a tweet.
Oh.
Aren't you upset? Isn't that unpresidential?
Oh, because somebody said, isn't that unpresidential, saying it's a stupid question?
Oh, yeah. That's an unpresidential thing
I think I had I got a bookmark for Donald Trump's tweets. Let me see.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
I got him.
Wow,
how about
that?
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to meeting Tim Cook of Apple. Oh, boy, that's going to be fun.
Should be fun.
Kim, let's see, did a spectacular job hosting the president of France. He's talking about Melania. God love her.
Yeah, and I love how he's splitting... the Europeans, the Euro community.
Oh, what do you mean? I didn't know.
Well, okay, so we have Brexit.
Yeah.
So
that's the people that want to leave the Euro, for those of you in Dripping Springs. Okay,
go ahead. So the British voted, we're out of the European Union.
Uh-huh.
So Britain has traditionally been our favorite.
Right.
In the EU.
And we love the Queen.
And yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently it's a big deal that one of her relatives had a baby. You know, every time
it's
it
on
comes
every
up,
magazine at the HEB.
I don't care what they name the baby. Name him whatever. You name him Ralph, King Ralph. Okay, so anyway, the Brits leaving the EU means we got to have a new favorite, and Germany has always thought it was them. But let's just say that the relations between Angela Merkel and President Trump are less than satisfactory. And Macron, even though, you know, Trump was going to, you remember the Marianne Le Pen lady?
Uh-huh.
Who's the female Trump of France? I love it how everybody's a Donald Trump of somewhere else. You know, I'm the Donald Trump.
Oh, she's the female.
Yeah, she was the female Donald Trump of France.
She had a frumpy frown every picture I saw of her, though.
Right.
I don't think she was having a good day.
Well, he never came out and endorsed her. And him and Macron, of course, have had their differences. But now all of a sudden, the media is talking about, you know, oh, they're good friends, best of buddies. So what's their word? A bromance.
A bromance. Oh,
yes.
Don't you love that?
Yeah. No, I don't.
No,
so,
do I.
Anyway, I just now the rest of the European community is going, hey, wait a minute. We want to be his favorite. So I can only imagine. So, you know, he gets a state dinner. No,
that's a pretty big deal.
That's a big deal. We don't give state dinners to people. We gave it to Macron. Now I want to see what happens when Angela Merkel visits, I think in a week.
She's always got a frumpy frown.
I could just see the president stopping by McDonald's, getting her a happy meal, and throwing it on the table. They're going, okay, here you go. Here's your dinner. let's just surmise that she's not going to get the sort of treatment that Macron did. And that, of course, is going to cause the people of Germany to question. So he's just splitting them apart.
Bridget just emailed. She said, Mrs. Macron looks so frumpy because she had to stand next to Melania.
That's very good.
Very good.
I am proud of the First Lady, proud of the President.
I
love him. And, I get it. He's crude. He's rude. He's socially unacceptable.
Oh.
Typical American. I guess. Typical American.
His numbers keep going up, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, not his average numbers.
What do you mean?
Well, because now that his poll numbers are rising.
Oh, they're going to the average.
The left is going to the average.
The globalists.
Yeah. All right. Never. The press is going back to his first numbers and averaging them all together. So his average approval rating is still lower than President.
I thought it was interesting where Macron said, I wonder if I could borrow Stormy Daniels and bring her back home, because then if my wife thought I was having an affair, my numbers would go up. So that's what happens in France, you know.
That's right. Yeah, I
sorry,
get it
you
now,
didn't get
yeah.
that. Yeah,
I got it.
It took
a
little while.
Yeah, I'm a little slow on the uptake.
That's right. When you have affairs in France, your numbers go up.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Because that's
is
what they
correct.
Do for a living over there.
Yeah, you're manly. Yes,
you're manly. Yes, you're manly. Well, I guess we've just been politically incorrect as much as we possibly can.
Wait a minute. I don't think there's... I think what? There's got to be a group of people we haven't...
offended?
I'm pretty sure, if we think about it.
Let's
let me think,
see.
Mm-hmm.
The libertarians, have we offended them? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. I think so.
No.
Have we offended the pure red Republican gun-toting people? No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Have we offended the left guys in California? Probably.
We do
that a lot.
So.
What else? We offended the UN? The bankers?
I'll tell you what, there's so many hurtful words being spoken these days that perhaps we should, like, maybe limit some of this idea that you could just say anything you want. It's just common sense.
That's right. Yeah. We should probably hire a person to
censor. No, that's not
the
word.
No, we could tape it. We could taper it, and then any kind of insensitive words we could just cut out.
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
Great idea.
It's a great idea.
And maybe it could just be automatic. As soon as we start speaking, the artificial intelligence knows, can't let him say that. Bleep.
That's a great idea. We'll look into that. I don't know if I have that in the budget, but maybe I could figure that out.
But it should be free, I think.
I see.
I mean, that is the idea of free speech, right? Mm-hmm. That you don't get charged for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because the right to bear arms means you can wear a short-sleeved shirt. Mm-hmm. So free speech means you don't get charged for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fair enough.
There's no truth to the rumor that everybody buys sulfur or gets on the sulfur page at Facebook. That's no truth. I just want to squash that rumor.
Oh, man.
All right, kiddo, what's going on for you today? Got anything for sale? Or you got anyone's coins for sale?
I'll tell you what
diamonds? No, you don't do diamonds.
I had the idea.
Yeah.
It occurred to me that with gold as cheap as it is, generics, the coins, the semi-numismatic gold coins, are a great buy.
Explain to us, Tonto, what those are.
Okay,
semi-numismatics.
Semi-numismatics, where the bulk of the value is in the gold.
Oh, and not the collectible thing.
That they're made of, and not as much in the collectible.
Gotcha.
Now, when gold is very high, you're better off to buy rare coins in that environment. But when gold is low, like it is, then that makes semi-numismatic coins a great deal. Anyway, to that end, I bought a mountain of semi-numismatic coins where the value of the coins is more attuned to the price of gold than it is to their rarity. Coins like the $20 Liberty from the early 1900s or the $20 St. Gaudens.
And what does something like those cost?
They're not, they really are inexpensive. You can buy a nice certified $20 gold piece for just under $1,600.
So just a few hundred over spot price.
Correct.
Okay. And then what if gold...
That's a big 1 ounce gold coin, by the way.
And what if gold would go talking here.
Well, they benefit immediately.
We're not predicting, but just talking here. Uh-huh. What if a year from now, gold is at $2,000, as some people predict? Would you be able to sell that coin and make a good profit?
Absolutely.
Because
the value, bulk of the value. Now, for my rare coin clients, you're not going to want to hear this.
No, you don't do that.
So let's say gold goes up $300 or $400 in the short term. The semi-numismatic coins will go up $300 or $400, maybe $500. They have to go up at least what the price of gold is. But the numismatic coins, the coins that their bulk of their value is in the collectability, they're not going to react to that increase.
But that doesn't seem right.
I know.
No.
I know.
Oh, I guess it does, because most of the money you're paying is for the collectability, doesn't change.
It sometimes rises when the price of gold is falling. So if you were, if this were 2011 and $20 gold pieces, I don't know if you remember, in 2011, they were $2,700 in Mint State 64 condition.
Wow.
Now you can buy a Mint State 64 $20 gold piece for less than $2,000.
That's a long time ago, 2011.
Yeah, it was. Mm. And the coin is like 30% less. Mm. Why? Because gold is 30% less. And during that whole period, when they were rising like that, when the semi-numismatic coins were going up every week as gold went up, my rare coin clients were saying, wow, what the heck did you sell me this coin for?
I didn't want this.
I don't know. He should have sold me the $20 gold piece because that one's going up. Well, now when gold got on its slide and started heading south and the $20 gold piece slid all the way down to $2,000 or less, then the rare coin investor felt like a genius because all during that period, his rare coin either held its value or increased. Now we're at the reverse. So when gold was $1,900 and you called and said, I want to buy gold, I said, buy rare coins. And now the gold is $1,300, a little over, and you call, you want to buy something? Yeah, rare coins are great. I have them. But boy, the short-term opportunities right now for a price spike in the semi-numismatic coins, well, it hasn't been stronger since 2008. Right?
So this could be like a little bit of a play, or you're looking for a little upside in 6 months or a year.
Yeah.
Right. Kind of that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like going to the track and betting on Seabiscuit on the fourth.
It's almost like a no-brainer in this time around. Mm-hmm. So the semi-numismatic coins got onto my radar, and so I'm back to them again. I bought an incredible amount of these $20 gold pieces, the one-ounce gold pieces. And they represent great value with current gold price levels. Again, if we were at $1,900, $2,000, I probably wouldn't recommend semi-numismatic coins. Mm-hmm. But given that where we are in the gold cycle and where we are in the economic cycle, I think the semi-numismatic coins are going to benefit from this artificially strong dollar. I do not think that the dollar will stay at 91. I don't see it going much higher. It might hit 92, but the general trend is down. So the time to buy, obviously, is when gold is at its lowest price, which is right now. So give us a call if that's something you might be interested in. I have a great selection.
Oh, cool. I want some. 800-468-2646. Mm-hmm. So the general trend on the dollar is down because the boys and girls are going to print more euros and yuan.
I think so.
And yuan.
I think that's the only way out of our problem.
That's it.
And you know that six-month window that gentleman from Morgan Stanley was talking about? Yeah, I think he's very conservative. I mean, we have problems that are coming to a head like now. So keep a close eye.
What's your phrase on the caca hitting the fan, which I always like?
When the defecation impinges on the rotary oscillator.
When the defecation impinges on the rotary oscillator.
Yes.
Then, you know. So you really, what would cause this
when
defecation?
When the fit hits the sham, I think.
What would cause this defecation impinging on the rotary oscillator? What would be some black swan events before we go?
Debts that couldn't be paid, defaults.
Like somebody would just say, I give.
I can't pay. Yeah. And you just don't know where it comes from.
Like who would do that?
Out of the blue. And interest rate shock. I don't know if you caught that yesterday.
Yeah.
The 10-year Treasury, it hit 3%.
3%.
And everyone lost their damn minds. It was like,
they lose their minds at 3%?
I
don't understand. I mean,
I'm with you.
Why are they all crazy?
Well, because somebody sat back and did some math. So wait a minute. We have a $400 billion annual interest payment that we pay. We talked about it ourselves last week.
400B, right?
Yeah, 400B. So if we're paying $400 billion in interest at 3%, what happens when rates go to 6? We pay double.
Not good.
Not good. Not with 60% of the nation's debt due and payable in the first 5 years since Donald Trump was elected.
Whoops, there goes the Social Security payments.
And at the same time, the Fed decides it wants to unload its balance sheet, so it's not going to be, right? These two elements combined by themselves really give us a scenario where interest payments could actually exceed tax revenues.
That would be ugly.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Especially if the flattening, we talked about, I think, the show before, the flattening of the yield curve.
Like, what are 30s today?
I'm not sure, but not much more than 10s. And 10s are not much more than 5s.
And that's a sign of,
that's a flat,
flat yield curve. So what Andy's talking about, you go out and lend the government money for 10 years, they'll give you about 3%. You lend them money for 30 years, they give you about
3.5%.
And that flattening is, tell folks who are new to the show, that's ominous because
it's an inflation, a recession indicator.
It's a recession indicator.
Yeah, and when you look at my commodity market, one of the other reasons where I loaded up on semi-numismatics so that I can give my customers great deals on them is right. because of a head and shoulders formation in gold at the bottom of the yield curve, excuse me, at the bottom of the market curve. So the idea that gold was higher, previously lower, and now lower again is what they call a head and shoulders pattern on the charts, and it generally indicates explosive moves to the upside. So for me, I'm convinced that this is the time, and I really think going forward, we'll look back on this like we do the Lehman moment now. You know, you remember then, and what'll happen from here? I think the rest of the investing community kind of woke up to yesterday. If in fact the market bids up interest rates to what they call normal levels, remember this is a historical low. It's a trough. It's a trench for interest rates. We've never been down here. We don't belong down here. And so what the Federal Reserve terms as normalizing rates, where they're just going to allow rates to go back to normal levels, 5, 6, 7%. Holy cow. Just the implication for the government's gross debt is mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. We double the interest payments. So necessarily that's... And we're going to have to borrow a lot more.
Well, Mr. Macron must have stolen Melania's dessert last night because... or Melania stole his, because he goes to Congress just now and says, this nationalism thing is not working for us. We're not going to leave the Iran deal. So they're not bromans. They're not bros. Right?
The bromance is over.
The bromance is over already. Yep. He hasn't even left town yet.
That's right.
Yeah. So they must have had a good time last night at dinner.
Well, you know, France and Iran have been...
Yeah, buds.
Buds for a longer time. Well, maybe...
Why is that?
I don't know. I think because of all the stuff that France sells to... So it's perfect. We're not going to sell to Iranians. We're not going to sell you anything that might help you advance your nuclear capabilities. And so then France steps up and says, well, we will.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah. It's been like that ever since.
Well, you know, France is kind of a funny place. Well, we'll see you tomorrow or next week. I mean, we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot. We had a lot of fun this morning.
Thank you. Yeah, good time.
I'm Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Hope you enjoyed the show half as much as Doodle and I did. We're going to go out in the sun, and we'll see you tomorrow with Richard Massey and Meridian Grace. And we appreciate your ongoing support of our radio programming here every morning. You know, what we do is try to find the very, very best people to align ourselves with, like Brandon Amalani and Daniel Vitalis and the One World Wave folks and the Sauna people and the Rebounder people and the Aloe people, people that we know and trust me, and try to get you the best deal, kind of like Andy does with the coins. Is we want to make sure we know the source and we know that where these things are coming from and what they might do or not do for you. We also kind of take the idea that we'd like to have things where you could actually see some results somehow. Well, I guarantee you if you take pine pollen and elk velvet antler every morning, you're going to feel something going on. Same way with sulfur, same way with the sauna, the rebounder. Kind of, we can feel some kind of juice, I think, with colostrum, certainly with the sulfur. There's a few things that you won't really, like if you do the ginseng from Shen Blossom, that's meant to be taken kind of like a real rare coin. It's a long-term deal. You take ginseng every night for the next 3 or 4 years, you might, you know, live another 3, 4, 5 years you hadn't counted on. I mean, that's the way that works. But most of the things you can actually feel a little thing. And why is that important? Because we humans are funny little creatures. When we get to see a little bit of improvement in our weight and our strength and our health and our complexion, whatever, we kind of get what? Jazzed, right? It's a motivation thing. And you do more. And you do more. That's just the way we are. We're kind of wired like this. Wow, man, my muscles are getting a little big. Bang, I'm going to do more. It's kind of fun. And so that's why we like to offer the products that we do. So we appreciate your ongoing support. If you want to spend a little buck, a few bucks, go on One Radio Network and click around and see what you like, and I think you're going to find some good things. So see you tomorrow with Richard Messi. I love you all. Bye.
From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.